Amen. Praise the Lord, everyone. Good afternoon. Welcoming everyone to Cornerstone Deliverance Church, our Sunday school hour. Amen. We have relaunched Sunday school, and I am excited about it. Amen. Just thanking the Lord for our founder and our overseer, Apostle Asia Francis. And we just thank the Lord for this time that we are able to join together and let us draw closer in the Word of God. I'm your host, Prophetess Maggie, and I will be facilitating Sunday schools on Sundays at noon. So if you know someone that desires to go forth and break bread with us, invite them to join us on the line, Bible study, prayer, any of the services for Cornerstone Deliverance Church. Just invite them or share the audio broadcast to them so that they can be blessed by the word of the Lord. If you don't have a Sunday school book, you can order your Sunday school books from Union Gospel Press. We are coming out of the fall quarter, the adult Bible lesson edition, and we are in the fall quarter from September through November 2022, and this series is called Learning to Honor God, and so I'm just excited about this word. I'm excited about the word, period, because it is life, and I just thank God for life that he blows inside of us daily. But he's constantly blowing it inside of us throughout the day, every second, every minute, every multi-second, every hour, throughout the day. He's refreshing us and refilling us with his life. And so as we break bread and we go forth in the bread of in the word of life, we are drawing, our purpose here is to draw closer to the Lord. Our purpose is to gain strength from one another, to iron sharpens iron. There are no big I's and no little U's. There's no right, there's no wrong answers in this. The Word of God is truth and it stands on its own. And so we are coming to share the Word of God, to compel each other to continue on in Christ, to continue our honoring him and obeying him and living a lifestyle of righteousness and holiness. And this is what this series is teaching. Amen. So I'm excited about this series. I'm excited about what God is doing as the season has shifted and has changed, as Apostle began to prophesy to us on the other day throughout the text. The season has shifted. So I have grasped, and I hope that you all have grasped hold to how God is shifted, how he has shifted us into this new season of obedience. And so if I will ask if Evangelist Shanta can open us up in prayer for Sunday school as we go forth. And we will take this time for question and answer. We won't just teach throughout the whole lesson, but we will take time to, you know, to ask and get put our inputs in so we can draw strength off of one another. Amen?
Amen.
Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we praise you. We honor you, God. We magnify your name, God. We thank you for another opportunity to come in your presence, oh God, to sit at your feet, oh God. And, Lord, to have this Sunday school, oh God, that we can learn more of you, oh God, that we would know how to walk in your perfect will, in your perfect way. I pray that you would anoint Prophetess Maggie, oh God, as she speaks the word to us, oh God, that we will not hear her, but we will hear your voice clearly, oh God, and we will walk therein. God, we give you praise and honor and glory for what you're about to do, oh God. As we hear this word, it will change our lives forever. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Our lesson this morning, we are on lesson one, September the 4th, 2022. Our lesson this morning is coming out of the book of Exodus. And thank you, Evangelist. And thank you for everyone joining the line. We thank God for everyone in their respect place this morning. Our lesson is coming from Exodus, the third chapter, verses 1 through 12. And this week, when I began to study the Word of God, the Lord gave me some key words. And one thing about Sunday school and Bible study and any type of teaching class, it's a little different from Sunday service. We're able to take notes, and it's a little more time where we are able to process the Word of God. And so in my time with the Lord this week, the Lord gave me some different words. And two of the words that really stuck with me were the words action and reaction. And in throughout this lesson, I saw those words in act. I saw them, how the Lord was using those words. And with the children of Israel, we know the story. They were disobedient. They complained. They whined. They did not want to do the original children of Israel. They did not want to do things their way, the way God wanted them to do it. They wanted it their way. And it caused some consequences to them. And so they did not walk in obedience. And in our walk with Christ, in our walk, obedience, it is the key, and it's the key that holds our salvation in place. It's just imagine your children if they don't obey you, how you feel if they don't comply with you, if they don't submit to what you say, if they don't understand your authority. And so the Lord began to show me this throughout the Word and in my personal life, how important obedience is. And so this week's scripture reads, and I'm going to read out of the King James Version. I'm going to read out the New King James Version. It says, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will not turn aside and see the great sight. I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Why the bush does not burn? So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, and he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrow. So I have come down to deliver them out of the land of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. That's a lot of people.
Amen.
But he said it's flowing with milk and honey. A rich place. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me. And I have also seen the oppression with the Egyptians, which the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Israel. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? So he said, I will certainly be with you. And this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you when you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Amen for the reading of his word. Action and reaction. So today's our aim is to describe God's unusual means to contacting Moses, his plan to deliver the Israelites from bondage, and the sign he gave Moses that the plan would succeed. Have you ever just been in a place with God where you just really needed to hear his voice? Or you really just needed to see a sign to know that what he's told you to do is going to succeed? To show that God employs human beings to carry out his sovereign will and assures them of the ability to carry out their assignment. Now, Apostle has been teaching on the promises, the purpose, and the plans concerning each and every individual that hears the message every Sunday. There is surely a meaning. There's something meaningful that God has put inside of all of us. But he has to assure us that we're able to carry out the assignment. Whether it is launching a ministry, whether it's feeding the hungry, whether it's going to the nursing home, whether it's just handing out a tract or sharing a word of encouragement, he wants us to be able to carry out the ability of the assignment, to complete what he has said, and succeed in doing it. So his application is to help the believer be open to God and what he wants them to do, and be willing to rest on his promise to help them accomplish whatever he wants them to do. That there's that action and that reaction. And so when I begin to look those words up, action, the fact of process of doing something, typically to achieve an aim. You think about when you came to the Lord. You were in service, and they said you don't know him and you want to get to know him. You took the steps. You begin to take the action plan. You begin to move, walk in movement. You begin to work this thing out, where you begin to put your faith in action to get up and accept the Lord in your heart. And it caused the reaction for him to come into your heart, for the plan that he has, that's been birthed inside of each and every one of us, to succeed, for it to begin to take place. Now, for that reaction to, for it to become a response, and so God begins to come into our lives, an action performed at or a feeling experienced in a response to a situation or event. So now God comes into our heart, the feedback that he's been wanting from us. He gets the answer in the reply that he wants. So this is what he's doing to Moses. He sends this sign, right? This burning bush. To draw the attention of Moses. Because Moses don't think he can. He says, who am I? I can't do it. How can I deliver these people? These your people. How can my lifestyle, if I'm living saved and sanctified and holy, how can my lifestyle compel and draw others to come? But there's a plan and a purpose and an assignment that we must carry out that will succeed. If we walk in the action and we are led by God, if we take the steps, if we take the effort to achieve what he has set in us, it shall come forth. But it requires us to yield our will. And we're going to see in this word that sometimes the Lord has to take something out of the ordinary to draw our attention. Has he ever just done that to you? Has he, something that has just caught your attention? May not have been a burning bush, but it's caught them little God meets. Where he lets you know he's there. That divine contact.
Amen.
So ahead of him, he noticed this burning bush. And I'm in developing the lesson, divine contact. He notices this burning bush, and it was not being consumed by fire. Have you ever set something on fire and it's not consumed? And he went closer to examine this phenomenon. He went closer to examine this out of the ordinary thing that got his attention, that stopped him from doing what he thought was important, that drew him closer to it. So now God has gained Moses' attention, and the Lord calls him by name, and Moses responds. Has the Lord ever just called you by name? He's got your attention now, and he calls you by name. My son told me a couple of months ago, he told my sister, he called my sister, and he said he was leaving work one night, he was walking home, and where he works is in the mountains, like in the valley area of California, and he works at a Christian camp. And he said he was leaving work, and he heard someone call his name, and he was the last person there. There was no camp in at the time because it camp had already let out. Nobody was there. He was the only one on the premises. And he heard his name called again. The Lord was trying to get his attention. Out of the ordinary thing, but the Lord draws to get your attention, to remind you of the purpose and the plan that he has birthed, in, that he has planted inside of you. That you've got to carry out this assignment. Can't drop the ball now. You're almost to the finish line. You got to finish this thing. There's a divine plan. And the Lord wanted Moses to understand, and we're in verse in on the bullet point two. The divine plan was the Lord wanted Moses to understand he was now in touch with the Almighty. So let's look at verses 5 and 10. There's some things, there's some very key important things. He gets his attention and he calls him by name. So verses 5 through 10, can anyone point out some of the things that God says that are very significant in those five verses? Verse 5, number 1, he says, do not draw near this place. Take your shoes off, your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground.
Amen.
That's the first time in the Word of God that the word holy is used. And God was letting him know this place is consecrated. This place is separated from any form of any sin. This place right here, deliverance, healing, whatever you stand in need of, you can get it. This ground is saturated it's set aside. Nothing unrighteous, undefiled, anything that is not like God is near this. There has been a separation that has taken place. And he's letting Moses know. That there is a distinction from where you were and from where you are now. Because see, where you were, you had to have on shoes. But now where you are now, you got to take them on off.
Amen. Amen.
He's letting them know where you were, there was a distance from me and you. But now, where you are, there ain't no distance.
Amen. 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 My Lord. Jesus.
Then he tells him, he says, I am the God of your ancestors.
Amen.
Yeah.
Let him know who he was.
Yeah. He had to let him know who he was.
That he was
and that's oh, my God, it got him in a place. Have you ever been in the presence of God where God had to tell you who he is?
I had
that experience.
Yes.
I had never experienced God, and I don't want to get so, but when I think about it, I experienced God's love like I never did this week.
Jesus.
I had been in the presence of God, like, and it was one of them experiences.
Yes. Glory to God. Yes, Lord. Yes.
So I can imagine Moses had to hide his face.
Yeah, he was afraid. Yeah.
You in that close vicinity with holiness. Now you was once distant. You was once in a defiled place where you had to keep on shoes because it was so filthy and so nasty. But now you in a place that's pure and clean and righteous and holy.
My Lord, my faith.
And you in the presence of your God. Now he began to talk to him. Has God ever begun to talk to you? I know what you're going through. I know how your body is breaking in pain. I know how it hurts. I know how they hurt you. I know how you want your children to be saved. I know how you want to draw closer to me. And I hear your cry.
Jesus. Lord.
Yes. Nobody loves you.
And I've come to deliver you from your taskmaster.
Amen.
I know your sorrow. I know you're suffering. It's not like I didn't know. Muhammad didn't know. Hare Krishna didn't know. Your pastor, we may not know each other's suffering, but God knows our suffering. He knows our sorrows, our pains, the things that may worry us, the things that may cause us to be sad, the things that may cause us to be in bondage, the things that may cause us to be separated from him, distant from him. He says, I know those things. But guess what? I've come to the rescue.
Mm.
He said, I came to rescue you from the power of the Egyptians.
Amen.
I come to set you free from this slavery that you've been in. Because there's a greater purpose now. There's a purpose. The age has nothing to do with this purpose and this plan and this promise that I have birthed inside of you, that's been planted inside of you, that's grown. I've dropped the seed and it has grown. Because you shall have the ability to carry out this assignment.
Amen.
And the things that have hindered you, I've come to rescue you from. The things that have delayed you, I've come to rescue you from. The things that may have slowed you down, I've come to rescue you from. They caused you to be a little delayed in obeying me, I've come to rescue you from. The things that have caused you not to act, to move how I say move, I've come to rescue you from. Those things that may be in the heart that cause you to not take those steps of faith to get to me, I've come to rescue you from those things, he's saying. Now, we're reading about the Egyptians, but let's apply this to our modern lives.
Amen.
What things have us enslaved, in bondage? What is preventing us from getting to the place where it is flowing with milk and honey? When my grandmama and them, all them knights and Hittites and Zites and all of them people.
Yes, boy.
What is preventing me from getting there? What prevents me from hearing? Now he's saying, I have heard their cry. What makes God say, why is he saying this again? Did they not believe that God was hearing their cry? Have we ever been that way?
Amen.
So divine assurance, God had to let them know, I've heard your cry.
Amen.
I'm assuring you that I'm there. I ain't left you. I have not left you to be oppressed, suppressed, depressed. I ain't left you like that. But I've come to free you. Have you ever just been that way? But he assures them. He assures Moses. See, the natural man begin to become reluctant to being able to do the will of God. And that's how the flesh will work. It will cause us to become reluctant to move in action, to step out on faith. It will cause us to not believe and trust the will of God. It will cause us to become combative and hostile and our mind is confused. And did God really say this? Is this God speaking to me? Is this not God speaking to me? Maybe it's God. Maybe it ain't God. But this is where it requires us to know our God. This is where it requires us to have that deeper relationship with him, that we will not become reluctant when he speaks, that we will not become reluctant to obey him. The Lord told me to do something this week, and I told him no. I couldn't sleep. I tossed, I turned. I was aching and the head hurt. I mean, so much things was just, he would not let me rest. And I had to repent for not wanting to obey the voice of God.
Amen.
To becoming reluctant, knowing that I know the voice of God because the Holy Ghost lives inside of me, but letting my flesh try to think it could lead me. And this is what Moses had to see. And he had to trust God. He says, I will be with you. And this will be the proof that I've sent you. Know that I've sent you. I'm not sending you not equipped, but I'm sending you equipped to do this. You will accomplish this. Being in his presence, being on that in that holy place. So that he can speak to you. And heal and deliver from the things that the oppression of this world. AIDS has nothing to do with the enemy trying to make us oppressed. That's his job. But if we're in his presence, the being in the presence of holiness, where it separates us from where we separated from that, where he's able to come in and cleanse and deliver and set us free from any forms of enslavement or suffering. See, God is still the I am then. That he's still back, how he's still the I am now that he was then. He's not bound by time like we are. How he delivered and set them free, he can do the same for us. His love for us. One thing out of this, how I applied this now, one thing I realized about God's love, when you love something, when you love someone, you will obey. When you take the time to really think about the love of God, where we should have been dead in sin a long time ago, but because of his love, it compels my heart to want to live a lifestyle of holiness and righteousness. It compels my heart to allow God to lead me. See, before I was really adamant about leading God because I thought that I was in control. I really thought Maggie was in control. But I had to understand, no. But when I realized how much his love was, I stopped fighting against that love. And I just embraced that love. I was able to walk into that love and embrace it and freely welcome it in. And so he was able to react and love me unconditionally. He loved me unconditionally, but I couldn't see it. Now I was able to feel it and be able to express it and know it was there. So this thing requires our walk. It requires us to be in a place of obedience with him. It requires us to fall in love with him. It requires us to realize that he is God. He knows what's best for us. So I thank God for him delivering and him setting his people free. And we don't have to be bound. We don't have to be, we don't have to continue to walk in and be lost and enslaved to anything, because we can just willingly go to him and encounter him like never before. That he can get our attention and then we can have that encounter with him. And he can intervene and let us know I'm there. That's really a loving God. So the question, how do you identify? We're going to flip the questions up. Can you identify with Moses? Where you have been reluctant with God? Does anyone want to share? Can you identify with not being confident, not believing that God sent you to do something?
Amen. This is Minister Harris. Praise God. I'll say this. Like your brother, I was at work, and I had the Holy Ghost already a couple of years, and nobody was in the room at that time but me, and I was doing something, preparing something, and God said to me, this is plain. He said, go home. So I said, okay, I already left home, God. He said, no, go home. Go back to North Carolina, because I was living in Connecticut. Didn't have much, but I had more than what I left home with at 17. Had two children, beautiful children. Glory to God. And I was saying, I'll go home. I don't have no money to move back to North Carolina. I don't even have two pennies to rub together half the time. But he told me to go home. And 7 days after he told me to go home, it was a case that ended up being settled that's been going on for like 8 years or 9 years. And the money came through that I could get back to North Carolina. And because he told me to pass, too, that same day. And I said, okay, all right, go pack. I don't have no money again. But a case that had been going on for 8 years, I had even forgotten about it. But the money came through, and I was able to move back. But something else happened that made the money shorter than what they were supposed to be. But I told God after he told me that I still was going to do what he said. If I didn't have but 10 cents after I got to North Carolina, well, I did have $30 after I got back to North Carolina. So just that little back then just came to me. But, you know, I didn't know what to do, but God knew what to do. And thank God it was for my better. It was for my better. So that was just something, you know. A lot of times God can talk to you. There haven't been many times in my life that I knew God spoke to me. And that was one of the times, and it was another time in my life. But that particular time, I made a drastic move. Didn't have but Jesus and my two children and a house full of furniture and clothes, but that still was a big step to take. And like I said, once I got on and turned the truck in and turned the thing we were pulling something else with, I only had $30, and I took that $30 and bought meat because he had told me just buy non-perishable things. And that's what I did. And I had $30, and the rest I was looking to God to supply my every need, and he did. He met it even after the $30. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you,
Lord.
Is there anyone else that would like to share?
Amen. I'd like to share.
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen.
Okay. So according to how I understood the question, I'd like to share that the Lord has placed direction in my heart to do
Amen.
His will.
Amen.
And because of my own frailty, my own humanness.
Amen.
Whew, Jesus. Being slow or weak. Jesus, the sensitivity in my being says to me that the people will not receive what it is you have given me to give. And because of that sensitivity in my natural being, it has caused me to be slowful in doing. Not that his will doesn't get accomplished. It does. But I just believe that it could be at a power that the Lord would, it would just be very explosive. But because of the frailty within my being, it's like I don't want to go, like Moses. And so as the children left Egypt and went into the promised land, and we who left Egypt, the body of sin, and went into holiness, representing the wilderness as we grow and develop in the process, is what the Lord allows me to see. It allows me to transfer from one place to the next place. Delivering or speaking or caring within what it is within my being that is of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. It's my frailty that I'm trying to convey, as Moses said, "Who am I?" And you know, and God is just encouraging us to not have fear, to not waver. It's not you; you're just the vessel that I'm using to accomplish my
Amen.
Will to be done on earth as
Amen.
It is in heaven. And I understand it. I really do. But I'm just bringing out, as the question came forth,
and
you see in you what God is doing in you as he did with Moses. And
Amen.
I'm just sharing, yes, I do see. My frailty does hinder. It does, but it can't stop. Hallelujah. It cannot stop, because as long as the mind of Christ Jesus continues to get strengthened
yes,
through the word,
Lord.
I interject right here that as the children of Israel went into the promised land, we as well are walking in the promised land. I'm rejoicing that the Lord has allowed me to come in the midst of the people who are on the line right now.
Jesus, right now, in the name of Jesus.
Who have arrived to the place in Jesus.
Come on,
where
yes,
the people 20 years ago was not in that place. To
yes,
be the anointing that God has provided.
My Lord.
That the people who are on the line now are receiving the anointing that God has prepared for us to walk in and through and to do. Hey, in his holy name, that his will is being fulfilled.
Yes,
Lord. Hallelujah. It makes his flow. It makes the flow of his will easy. There's no damnation. There's no condemnation. The word of God lets you to know, therefore, now there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. So it makes it easy for his will to flow through me, not me, but only
Spirit.
That 20 years ago, the people would just look at your outer appearance and think that you're a nobody. Oh, but you're a body that has surrendered to the will and the presence of the living God, who saved your soul and your mind to make you in one accord with the Most High God. Who is the Lion in your flow and knows it before it even begins. But the Lord God waxed cold in the hearts of God's people. But his will is being fulfilled this day that the Lord has made for his glory, his honor, his praise, and his thanksgiving, his altar, his inner court, his outer court. Jesus the Christ is Lord. Glory be unto God who giveth us victory, which is Christ Jesus, our victory.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, Lord, I thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Yes. Touch your Lord.
Thank you, my God.
Yes, Lord.
That's that good thing about acting out. Hallelujah. Yes. We can experience his reaction.
Nothing but Jesus.
Hallelujah. We can experience his love.
Jesus.
We can experience the love of God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God.
Hallelujah.
Touch
your Lord. Your
Hallelujah.
In your mighty name.
Hallelujah.
Nothing like the love of God. Hallelujah.
We are free from any type.
My Lord. That's
we are
okay.
Not
that's okay.
Free from sin. We are not bound yet.
Yes, Lord. But
we will fulfill the promise that he has declared over our lives.
Now, in the name of Jesus. Glory to God by your blood, Lord, by the blood. Right now, in the name of Jesus, nothing like the blood of
God. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, my Lord, my Savior.
We're able to. It says we are able to enter God's presence.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
It says it requires a reverent act of acknowledgement on our part. We're able to enter in it.
My Lord. Yeah, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you.
We got to do our part. Hallelujah.
Yeah, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes.
When God got Moses' attention with the bush, he told him to take his shoes off to welcome him in. He was able to enter into that place of holiness. We have to do our part.
Yes.
Hallelujah, Jesus. We're able to come into the place where the great I am is. That's a great place to be. The I am that I am. Hallelujah, glory to God. Hallelujah, the God that was at the beginning and the God that is at the end. Hallelujah, glory to God. The God that is over all mankind. Hallelujah, Jesus. We're able to come into his presence. That's a great place to be. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, Lord God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Praise
and he
God.
Intervenes. Hallelujah. He intervenes and hears our cry. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Hallelujah, God.
In your name, oh, you.
Hallelujah. Oh, God, thank you.
Stop.
Yeah, thank you, Lord. We thank you.
Glory to the name of
God. Thank you.
Right now.
Oh,
in the name of Jesus.
Oh, God, I thank you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Even when we were in our own will, hallelujah, he didn't let us die in it. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, glory to God.
That's right.
Praise hallelujah, Jesus.
My Lord, my Savior. Nobody but
Jesus. Nobody but Jesus. Hallelujah. Whatever the bush was, whatever the side he used, hallelujah, it got our attention. Hallelujah, glory to God.
Hallelujah. That's what it's all about, baby. That's what it's all about.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
I just want you for me. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Glory to God for the blood and for his love. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's what brings us to the glory. In your name, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes.
Oh, God.
Yes, even for this time, Lord God. We thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Ain't God good. Hallelujah.
The question, it says, why did Moses need such an attention getting sign in order for the Lord to address him? Sometimes we are just so off track and so caught up, it takes God to get our attention with a sign.
Yeah, he'll give us a shake up. Hallelujah. My Lord, my Savior. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah.
Something out of the ordinary. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
The Lord gets you the way he wants you. Glory to God.
Yes, he does.
Yes, Lord. So.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Is there anything before we...
Hallelujah. Yes. Glory. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
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 Yes. Glory to God.
Thank you.
Back now in the name of
Lord. Thank you, Lord God.
Is that a second question?
Is there anything before we prepare to dismiss? Amen.
Me thanking God for Jesus. For going up and going yes. out. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Jesus, I thank you. I'm all of you. And nobody to it like you.
I'm convinced that when you come into the presence of God,
yes.
you will never be, your life can never be the same.
Come on.
You will never be the
same. That's okay.
Never.
It's life changing every time.
Yeah.
And I'm just in that stage of my life where it is changing every step of the way I come into the presence.
Glory to the name, Jesus. Thank God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We praise your holy name.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Apostle Maggie, one thing I wanted to say is that, and you like confirmed it up, is that one thing you notice, when Moses came into the presence of God, his life changed from that day forward.
Yeah.
He was never the same. He had different encounters, other encounters with God, but his life was changed forever. Glory to God. We go from encounter to encounter with God, and our lives are always changing to just fall more in love with him because he already loves us.
Right.
And once we, like you said, when we experience the love of God, your life can't be the same.
Yes.
You can't stay in the same. You can't, not when you experience the love of God. When you experience the love of God, your life will never be the same. It'll make you different. The drugs, the cigarettes, the sex, whatever it is.
Jesus.
You have that encounter.
We all have that. Hallelujah.
Glory.
My Lord, my Savior. Won't God do it? Hallelujah.
Yes, he will.
Never the same. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Thanking God. Thanking God. Hallelujah. Jesus.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. He met us here. Hallelujah. Jesus. Yes, he did. Hallelujah.
Jesus. Oh, God.
Yes, Lord, we thank you.
I release the line of prophetess Deidre to release us.
Until we meet again, Lord God, in Jesus. Yes. Oh, hallelujah.
Yes. Heavenly Father, we're blessed, abundant, and exceeding above all that we could ask or think.
Yes, Lord.
And we're blessed with the privilege.
Yes, Lord.
Honor you.
My Lord.
To fall to your feet with gladness and thanksgiving. To thank you with everything that you bestowed upon us, that you will be glorified and not we ourselves, but it's all about you wanting us to be able to continue with you. And we're just grateful that our language is able to convey our gratitude and our thanksgiving for the privilege of being able to come into your presence and to know you. That you are present with us, that we have no doubt. There's no space, no room for doubt, because you have taken care of that. You made that possible in our lives. That doubt has no place. Fear has no place. For greater is the one that is in us and who breathes upon us and breathes through us. Your presence, your very
essence.
Dwells within us, that wherever it is we go, we go in the gladness and the joy and the peace, all the Father, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Word, the blood
that brings the life through us, through the love. And we have partaken of your body. We have partaken of your blood. And for this, Lord God, we shall never forget. Hallelujah, Jesus. The privilege that you've bestowed to us. And wherever it is we go, oh God, whether we speak or we don't speak,
yes.
Hallelujah. We honor you with thanksgiving all through our Lord and Savior, Lord. Christ.
Yes.
As we leave from the line, know that we do not depart from either, even our own, from one another. We do not depart. Because we're in one in you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
As a husband and wife is yoked together as one, the body and the members of Christ Jesus also yoked together as one in you, Lord Jesus, that our Heavenly Father be glorified in the earth as you are in heaven.
In heaven.
Bless you today with the gift of forgiveness.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
And the gift of love. Which is through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Continue to bless Prophetess Maggie, Mother Harris, Apostle Francis, Prophetess Johnson, oh God, and all the members that you called that have not yet come to the line. Mm-hmm. We are blessed. I'm living in the sea and just to say thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Amen. Oh, Mahaya Bashe. Oh, Lord, you know I thank you for a special love. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for her love, oh God.
Yes.
Continue to strengthen her health. Her health. Let her be a marching soldier from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet.
Yes, now, Lord. Jesus. Right now, Jesus.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yes, Lord.
She's been through tribulation, Lord God, but the victory is all hers, oh God, through you.
Yes.
Jesus.
Yes.
Hallelujah. God knows. God just rests her on my heart, but he just would not let me say her name. She knows. She knows. She knows.
Yes.
The line. She knows. Because God made her to know through the umbilical cord that he has with her. She knows.
Yes.
And she knows it.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name.
Yes, that sounds good.
Agape love.
Agape love.
Agape love.
Agape love.